Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello and good morning. Yes, good morning. How are you today? Welcome to Sunday morning and to today's edition of Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English. My name is Richard Vaughn. I'm here to spend an hour with you this morning, speaking in English, sometimes in Spanish, sometimes in Spanglish, to talk about my life, about Madrid, the city, the province of Madrid, or the community of Madrid, as they say, and to help you with your English. The ultimate objective, la palabra en inglés ultimate, escrito, pronunciado ultimate, no significa último, significa en último término, en última instancia, al final. Mi objetivo al final, mi objetivo en última instancia, my ultimate objective is to help you with your English, to expose your ear to the English language, and to help you feel that you are improving and to make the English language perhaps more attractive. And when an area of knowledge or capability becomes attractive, the learning curve changes. When you fall in love with an area, cuando te enamoras de un área del saber, de saber, when you fall in love with an area of knowledge, you learn it very quickly. La curva de aprendizaje, the learning curve, changes drastically. And so it's really important, in my case now, to make English attractive for you. And if you like English, and el inglés ya no es una cruz. Ya no tengo manía al inglés, ahora me gusta más. Now I like it more, and then learning it is much easier when you like it. So the most important catalyst, the most important element in the learning process is the teacher. If the teacher is bad, the teacher is a murderer, a killer, an assassin. Un mal profesor es un asesino. Asesina el potencial interés en un área de saber. Now a fantastic teacher. Wow, como mola este profe, me encanta, de qué planeta será. In this case, it doesn't matter what the teacher is teaching. Suddenly you like it. Si el profe mola, el álgebra empieza a molar. Si el profe mola, Lope de Vega mola. Yeah, and it's true. It's true. Have you ever had a boring teacher? Yes. Many? Okay, me too. Now, have you had a few outstanding teachers? One, two, or three incredible teachers? Wow. That was an incredible teacher. I loved that teacher. It would not have mattered. Pasado el condicional, no habría importado. It would not have mattered what subject the teacher was teaching. You would have liked it. So if the teacher is fantastic, really good, you enjoy the subject, and it can be anything. Puede ser el asfaltado, el correcto asfaltado de las carreteras, con alquitrán. And you like it. Wait, it's cool. Yeah, genial lo de usar alquitrán para asfaltar. It's because the teacher's really good. There's an emotional question here. We have the emotional and the rational. And the rational is very powerful. Yes, reason, la razón. Goya said, el sueño de la razón produce monstruos, decía Goya en sus grabados. All right. Yes. Maybe. But the emotions, las emociones pueden crear monstruos, sí. Yes. Pues el sueño de la razón entre la emoción. However, positive emotions are extremely powerful. Very, very powerful. More powerful than reason. So the emotional conquers the rational almost all the time. And you say, la fe mueve montañas. And it's true. faith move in inglés significa también faith moves mountains. La razón no mueve montañas. Tienes que meter 1,000 toneladas de dinamita para moverlo un poco. Yeah. But faith moves mountains. The things that have been achieved in the history of the world, thanks to faith, thanks to emotions, thanks to dreams. That's the food of everything that's created is dreams, faith, emotions. So negative emotions, of course, I agree with Goya. It's when de la razón produce monstruos. The sleep of reason produces monsters if the emotions are negative. Adolf Hitler conjured up a lot of emotions among the German people and led them to their destruction. Yes. So it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. Edge is el filo, en este caso una espada. Una espada doble filo. All right, and so leadership. Leadership through emotions, through charisma and things is very, very good if the leader is a good person, of course. If the leader is a bad person, then emotions can be used negatively. Now me, I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher. And my job is to convey English, to transmit English in such a way that it's cool. Es genial, mola. And so that's the most important thing in the learning process is the power, the emotional power of the teacher. A fantastic teacher changes the learning process completely. Y lo acelera a 100 veces. Yes. You can have the best classroom with perfect climatization and with electronic blackboards and with a tablet on every desk for every student, perfect textbooks. If the teacher is mediocre, the learning curve will be desperately slow. You take those students from that beautiful classroom and take them to a cave, a damp cave, una cueva húmeda. But you put them with an outstanding teacher, they will learn quickly and they will enjoy the cave. Why? Because they have a leader in the classroom with positive emotions and making the subjects cool. And learning is cool. You can learn so fast when you're motivated. But you have to be motivated. And motivation usually comes from external stimuli. People usually don't self-motivate. They see something and they want it. Or they hear something and they enjoy it. And they wake up. And then they listen. They start paying attention. When they pay attention, you learn very quickly. You assimilate. You don't need to study long lists. You assimilate it quickly when you're highly motivated. So it's an emotional question. And that's part of what I want to do. So I'm going to talk every Sunday to you about Madrid, about my life in Madrid, about the secrets of Madrid. And, but in English. Last Sunday, I had reached, let's see, I had reached 1973, June 1973. That's a long time ago. That's 51 years ago. I was living with a Colombian family on Dr. Izquierdo Street. Creo que 168. I can't remember. And I had just finished one academic year in Madrid from August 1972 to June 1973. I had completed my third year of the university in a study abroad program. To study abroad, estudiar en el extranjero, como el Erasmus, el programa Erasmus aquí in Europe. You have the Erasmus program. And I finished. My parents came to visit me in Spain. We went to a tablao to see some flamenco, etc. I can't remember the name of the tablao, but I think it was on, it was very near Santo Domingo, that area of Madrid, Metro Santo Domingo in that area. But I can't remember the name of the tablao. It was very close to an Italian restaurant where I visited many those in that year called Osteria Piemontesa, the Piemonte Italia. Osteria Piemontesa. There's another restaurant there now. I think it's Chinese or Indian food or something. But it was good at that time. And there was also a good Italian restaurant many years ago on Martín de los Heros that was called La Spinetta. You see, I bought a book called La Guía Gastronómica de Madrid, edited by the Cofradía de la Buena Mesa, one of the founders of that book, and the initiators was Rafael Anson. I think he's 89 or 90 years old now. And he's still very active, very energetic, and still a lover of cuisine. And Rafael Anson insists that Spain is the best country in the world for food, and I agree. Spain is the Spanish cuisine or cooking. Hay dos palabras para decir la cocina española. O sea, la comida. We say Spanish cuisine or Spanish cooking or Spanish food. For example, Italian food, Italian cuisine, Italian cooking. I would recommend cuisine. La palabra francesa para cocina, cuisine is the best word. But Spanish cuisine is very, very good. It's better than Italian, better than Chinese, better than Peruvian. And however, people don't know that. Spain needs to have a minister of public relations and communication. Spain doesn't know how to sell. Spanish people are very poor in selling. You need to sell yours. Look, Italian food. It's very, very good. I love Italian food. You know, the pasta and the scallopes italianos, you know. They're very, very good. The food there. Saltimbocca la Romana. All of this is very, very good. But Spanish food is better. And there's more variety. Variety. Fijaos, ¿cómo se pronuncia variedad en inglés? Variety. Variety. There's more variety on Spanish food. And you have incredible variety between the acedías andaluzas and the bonito con tomate del norte, or just all of the food in the north, from the Basque Country to Galicia, is delicious. The food in Catalonia is delicious. The food along the Mediterranean is delicious. The food in Andalusia is very interesting and very good. The food in Las Mesetas, you know, in Castile, Old Castile and New Castile, they're very good. The food is excellent in Spain, and it's excellent in Madrid. I would say Madrid probably is the best city in the world for enjoying going out to eat. Because you can go to the most expensive restaurants like Zalacaín or Horchers or El Antiguo Bodegón. They changed the name now. And there are many very, very good restaurants that are expensive, but also there are many excellent menú del día restaurants where the mothers in the kitchen, the fathers at the bar, and the teenage children are waiting the tables. And they serve, frankly, very good food. For 12 euros, 14 euros, 15 euros, you can get, you can have a sopa de ajo and a huevos con morcillo, or you can have pollo al ajillo. It's just delicious. And you only spend 15 euros. So I think Spain is the best country in the world for eating on the cheap or in more expensive prices. You have a complete spectrum of prices, but the constant in the equation is the quality. You can find quality food at any price. And quality wine as well, because Spanish wine is very good. Even Los Vinos de Madrid ahora are very good. Spanish wine is good everywhere. Some of the wine have more tanninos than others and maybe give you a headache, but the quality and the taste of the wine. A wine for Vega Sicilia for 200 euros, or a wine from Utiel or from Madrid, etc., for 5 euros per bottle are excellent. And they taste very, very good. But getting back to our story, I left Spain after my first academic year here, from the academic year 1972-1973. My parents came and we traveled through Italy, France, and Great Britain, England. We saw London. And then I went back to the States to finish my degree. I went back to the University of Texas, which is located in Austin, Texas, the capital. And my parents at that time were living in Corpus Christi, Texas. Corpus Christi is a city of, today, 300,000 people. Back then, es una forma muy corriente en aquel entonces. At that time, hay dos formas, parecían en aquel entonces, a la sazón. At that time, and back then the population of Corpus Christi, Texas was 200,000 people. Very nice city on the coast. Mucha gente aquí no sabe que Texas tiene una larguísima costa. And the Gulf of Mexico, of course. The Gulf of Mexico. You have Mexico, el Yucatán, then you move up, Veracruz, Tampico, Matamoros, and then you have the Rio Grande, then you have Texas. Along the Gulf Coast, Corpus Christi, Galveston, and then you reach Louisiana, New Orleans, etc., etc. And you have the Gulf of Mexico. And so my parents at that time in 1973, summer 1973, were living in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so I went back. I left Madrid. And I went back to Austin and finished my degree in 1 year and one summer program. So I had a degree, título de grado de la Universidad de Texas, a bachelor's degree in Spanish language and literature and in philosophy. So I had a double degree, grado doble, licenciatura doble, in the Spanish language and literature and in philosophy. And I had to decide what to do with my life. I graduated con togo y birrete, with a cap and gown. What am I going to do now with my life? All right, I was 22. 22 years old the following summer. Not the summer of 1973, but the summer of 1974. And so I decided to come back to Spain. Why? Mainly because I thought that it would be a good idea to get a doctorate in Spanish literature. Doctorarme, ser doctor. En literatura española, de lengua española. All right. Because I was very interested in interested in Latin American novels. At that time, there were a lot of very good novelists from Latin America. Of course, you had Borges, short story writer, but you also had Vargas Llosa now, you had José Donoso in Chile, you had Gabriel García Márquez, of course, in Colombia, you had Carlos Fuentes and Juan Rulfo y otros, and others, in Mexico, you had Lezama Lima in Cuba, and Alejo Carpentier, y Guillermo Cabrera Infante, some very, very good novelists. My favorite was Alejo Carpentier, by far. And he wrote one novel called El Siglo de las Luces, which is brilliant. And part of it takes place in Madrid, del levantamiento contra Napoleón, in 1808, el 2 de mayo. But in any case, so I decided I wanted to do a doctorate, a PhD in Spanish literature. But before doing it, I decided to come back to Spain, to Madrid, to spend 2 years perfecting my mastery of Spanish, and then going back to the States, to Austin, to the University of Texas, to do the doctorate, to begin the doctoral program. And so I came to Spain a second time. And I've been here ever since, but I'll come back after this break to talk more about it.
Si has sufrido violencia sexual, llama al 900-599-316. En el Centro de Crisis 24 Horas de la Comunidad de Madrid te ofrecemos atención psicológica, asistencia jurídica y apoyo social. Siempre disponibles para ayudarte. 900-599-316. No importa la hora ni el día, estamos siempre para ti. Campaña financiada por la Unión Europea Next Generation Plan de Recuperación Gobierno de España. Comunidad de Madrid.
Simplifica tu vida con la cuenta digital de la Comunidad de Madrid. Puedes descargarte al instante el carné joven, consultar tu beca de estudios. También puedes acceder a tu pensión no contributiva, gestionar los trámites de tu empresa o el certificado de familia numerosa y solicitar la ayuda por natalidad o becas comedor. Todo en un clic y desde cualquier dispositivo con la cuenta digital. Financiado con fondos Next Generation. Comunidad de Madrid.
Como región cardiosaludable, desde la Comunidad de Madrid te damos un consejo de corazón. Realiza actividad física cada día. Corre, nada, anda a buen ritmo, monta en bici, baila, sube escaleras y reduce el sedentarismo para ganar salud. Los hábitos saludables previenen enfermedades cardiovasculares y mejoran tu salud. Comunidad de Madrid.
Vuelve la Feria de Empleo para Personas con Discapacidad de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Más de 100 empresas buscan tu talento. Te esperamos en la nave de Villaverde los días 11 y 12 de noviembre.
Regístrate en www.empleoydiscapacidad.es.
Cofinanciado por el Ministerio de Trabajo y Economía Social. Comunidad de Madrid.
Chinchón, con su icónica plaza, escenario de grandes películas de la historia, el túnel de Zacatín bajo la singular Plaza Mayor de Colmenar de Oreja, el Museo de Cine de Villarejo de Salvanés, el impresionante Palacio de Goyeneche de Nuevo Baztán, primer proyecto urbanístico...
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
¿Sabías que Franchise Innovation Summit es el lugar donde emprendedores e inversores encuentran inspiración y oportunidades de negocio?
Pues cuéntame más.
Conecta con líderes, descubre franquicias y haz realidad tus sueños de emprendimiento.
Eso es justo lo que necesito.
13 y 14 de noviembre en el pabellón de convenciones de la Casa de Campo de Madrid. Entra en la web y descarga gratuitamente tu invitación. Contigo somos más franquicia.
Hello and welcome back. All right, we're back and we're in 1974. And this is July 1974. I have finished my degree at the University of Texas, my undergraduate degree. Para titulación de grado, normalmente entre 18 y 22 años, between 18 and 22. En inglés decimos undergraduate, bajo grado, o sea, pregrado, the undergraduate degree. A bachelor's in philosophy and in Spanish language and literature. And as I told you before the break, I decided I wanted a good idea was to do a doctorate. But before doing it, I decided to come to Spain a second time and spend a couple of years consolidating my command of the Spanish language, and then to go back and do the doctorate with power, a powerful command of Spanish. So I came in 1974. And first, I drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I had my best friend live there. We drove to Atlanta, Georgia. I sold my car in Atlanta. My sister and her husband were living in Atlanta at that time. So we spent about a week in Atlanta. My friend and I, Bob, his name is Bob. And then we flew to New York. And from New York we flew to London. We spent a week in London. And one day we took a bus and we went up to Edinburgh in Scotland. And then after a week in London, we took a train to the coast, to Dover. We crossed the English Channel on the ferry, El Canal de la Mancha. Que por cierto, está mal dicho. No es la Mancha, es la Manga. El Canal de la Manga, because in French, los ingleses se apropian el canal, dicen el canal inglés, the English Channel. But the French say El Canal de la Manga, which in French is Le Canal de la Manche, de la Manche. And the Spanish heard La Manche and say La Mancha. It's not correct. It's El Canal. If the Spanish people are going to incorporate the French expression, it's El Canal de la Manga. And if you look at the channel, the English channel, it looks like a sleeve, como manga de camisa. It looks like a sleeve, a little bit. So the French, it's logical. But we crossed the Canal de la Mancha. We crossed the English Channel to Calais and took a train to Paris. And there we spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 days in Paris. And my friend Bob decided to stay in Paris because he had been studying French. And he wanted to stay in Paris for 2 or 3 months. He was thinking about spending an entire year in Paris, but he stayed for 3 months. And from Paris, I took a train to Madrid. I said goodbye to my friend Bob in Paris. And I caught a train in Paris and came a night, long. I think it was about 18 hours or something, and came to Madrid. And when I got to Madrid, in Chamartín Station, I had to make a decision. I said, I need to live somewhere. Well, the first thing I did was to go to the house of Nacho, el profesor de lengua española, the Spanish teacher that had gone with me on that long trip, if you remember. I spoke about that last week. Or the week before, that long trip around the Mediterranean to Italy, Greece, Israel, etc. So I went to his house on the afternoon. I got into Madrid, I think at midday or maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I don't remember. And the first thing I did was to go with my luggage. The first thing I did was to go to Nacho's house. I thought that maybe I could spend the night there and then the following day find a place to stay, una pensión, un hostal, you know, a pension, a hostel or something I could find to stay. So I went to Nacho's house in Argüelles, calle Andrés Mellado. Very close, practically 20 meters or 30 meters from a cine. Se llamaba el cine Andrés Mellado. I can't remember. I can't remember what the name of that. I don't know if it's still there. Yeah, I don't know. Sigue el cine en Andrés Mellado. I don't know. I'm asking Google. Sala Berlanga ahora en Andrés Mellado. All right, now it's called Sala. At that time, it wasn't called Sala Berlanga. Athene, I can't remember what the name of that was. But in any case, I went to Nacho's house on Andrés Mellado Street in Argüelles. And I rang the... I didn't ring el portero automático. No existía todavía. I don't remember if it was still... I don't think we had porteros automáticos now. The intercom system was not installed yet. At night, we still had the serenos. This was still during Franco. This was in 1974. July or August, no, July 1974. And so we had porteros and serenos de noche, serenos. You remember the serenos? Many of them are from Galicia, because Francisco Franco, because he was Gallego, he was Galician. There were a lot of Galicians who needed work. And so Franco, I think Franco created, I'm not sure who created the concept of the serenos. I'm not sure if it was Franco. Let's find out, shall we? I'll say it in Spanish. ¿Quién creó el concepto del sereno? El sereno. Para las noches. Para vigilar las noches. I don't know. Yes. El sereno. Guardián de las llaves del barrio. Right. Okay. Sereno. There's a song, by the way. Sereno, sereno, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué hora es? La una, las dos, las cuatro, las tres, las cinco, las seis, las siete, las diez. Sereno, sereno, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué hora es? So, in this case, I bet you've never heard that song, eh? I bet you've never heard it, all right. But the serenos, I don't know if Franco started them or not. Let's see. El sereno, el guardián de las llaves del barrio. Okay, la figura del sereno desapareció de nuestras calles a mediados de los 70. Okay, yes. Let's see. But I don't know when they were started. A finales del 19. Okay. So it wasn't Franco who started it. Let's see. Wow. Los serenos que aparecieron como tales en la España del último cuarto de siglo del 18, del, ¿sí? Durante Carlos IV, wow, y patrullaron por las calles de nuestras ciudades durante 200 años. That was interesting because many of you who are listening to me don't remember this, but I do very, very well. And I remember that most or practically all of the portales, all of the doors to the buildings, residential buildings, required big keys, llaves muy gruesas, very big old keys. And if you were coming home at night, people didn't have the keys. The portero and the sereno controlled the keys to the building. And so you could not have a key, I think. I'm trying to remember this. And when you got to the door at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, you clapped your hand and the sereno in the distance, boom, boom, con el bastón que tenía, chuza, ¿cómo se? Well, what did they call that? Yeah. And the sereno came. And there were serenos about every two blocks. I mean, I don't know how many serenos there were. Yes. But that's interesting. You can say, ¿cuántos serenos? How many serenos? I don't know how to say it in English. Night vigilantes. ¿Cuántos serenos había in Madrid in 1970, for example? Let's see. Oficios de ayer, serenos. All right. How many? En la mesa del década de los 70, la figura de sereno desapareció. Pa, 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 pa. Okay. I can't find the information I need. All right. But there were a lot. I think every two blocks or every three blocks there was a sereno, because if you clapped your hands loud and the best you could, it was almost always the sereno. Could hear it. So the sereno was within earshot of a clap. Clap is palmada. Boom. To clap is dar palmadas o aplaudir. También podemos decir to applaud. Aplaude para aplaudir. But with the serenos, if you clapped vigorously and as loud as you could, the sereno, I don't remember ever having a problem with a sereno. I mean, I lived in Madrid for at least 2.5 years between the serenos. But getting back to my story, when I came to Madrid from Paris in July 1974, I went directly to Nacho's house in Andrés Mellado Street in the neighborhood of Argolles. And I suppose I didn't ring the... There was not a portero automático. De parte toda la historia esta. And so I went up, and I went to their door, and his sister answered the door, and she was there. I mean, she recognized me. She remembered me from the year before. Ah, Rick. Me llamaba Rick. Diminutivo de Richard en aquel entonces. Pero lo cambié a Richard. Porque cuesta a los españoles decir monosílabas. Rick, Rick. So I changed to Richard. Two syllables, Richard. And she let me into the house. She said, Nacho, está al caer. Está al llegar. Le esperas aquí en el salón. And I went into the living room. And in the living room, there were two very good-looking American girls sitting in the tresillo, you know, sitting on the sofa, the couch, and the armchair, two Americans. And I said, hello. I introduced myself. I said, I just got here this afternoon on the train from Paris. And I came by to say hello to Nacho, a good friend. I spent the previous year here as a student. And the girl said, oh, well, we've been students this year and we're leaving Spain now. And I said, oh, that's too bad. Que lastima, because they were very good looking. Eh? I said, that's too bad. O sea, que lastima, os vais. I said, bueno, nos vamos en 3 semanas, in 3 weeks. Ah, and said, what are you going to do in the meantime, in the next 3 weeks? And they said, we're going to travel around Spain with a kilometrico. And I said, un billete kilometrico, eso qué es? I said, what's that? I said, we're planning to go to Renfe, to the Atocha station, and to buy a ticket that gives us 3,000 kilometers to go around Spain. Ah, okay. And I said, how much is the ticket? And they told me. And I'll come back after the break to tell you more about this.
Vuelve la Feria de Empleo para Personas con Discapacidad de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Más de 100 empresas buscan tu talento. Te esperamos en la nave de Villaverde los días 11 y 12 de noviembre.
Regístrate en www.empleoydiscapacidad.es.
Cofinanciado por el Ministerio de Trabajo y Economía Social. Comunidad de Madrid.
Los soportales y balconadas de la Plaza de Segovia de Navalcarnero. El majestuoso castillo de Manzanares el Real, rodeado de enclaves naturales increíbles como La Pedriza. El castillo de la Coracera de San Martín de Valdeiglesias. Sus playas en el pantano.
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
Utiliza la lógica. Reutiliza todo lo demás. Únete al movimiento de la economía circular y reutiliza bolsas de plástico, tarros de vidrio y ropa usada, entre otros. Repara, reutiliza, recupera, recicla. Comunidad de Madrid.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
¿Sabías que Franchise Innovation Summit es el lugar donde emprendedores e inversores encuentran inspiración y oportunidades de negocio?
Pues cuéntame más.
Conecta con líderes, descubre franquicias y haz realidad tus sueños de emprendimiento.
Eso es justo lo que necesito.
13 y 14 de noviembre en el pabellón de convenciones de la Casa de Campo de Madrid. Entra en la web y descarga gratuitamente tu invitación. Contigo somos más franquicia.
¿Tienes previsto un traslado? Elige Estebaranz, porque no todas las mudanzas son iguales. Rapidez, garantía y seriedad, nuestros mejores argumentos. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz, a tu lado, transportando tus ilusiones.
Hello, welcome back. Okay, I'm telling you the story of the second time I came to Spain after graduating from the University of Texas. I came back to Spain with the idea of staying for 2 years. I arrived at midday or early afternoon by train, and I went to the house of my friend Nacho, the Spanish professor, And he was not there. But the sister let me into the house and told me to wait in the living room. And in the living room, there were two American girls, very attractive, sitting on the chairs, armchair and sofa. And I sat down. I left my bags, mis maletas, and I sat down and introduced myself and said I was coming back to Spain after having spent a previous academic year the year before. And they said, well, we've just finished our academic year, and we're planning to return to New Orleans, to Tulane University. And I said, oh, you're leaving. I said, yes, we're leaving, but we're planning to travel around Spain by train. And later this afternoon, or tomorrow morning, we're going to buy a billete kilométrico. And I said, yes, okay. I said, what's a billete kilométrico? I said, well, Renfe offers the possibility of to use the train system for 2,000 kilometers or 3,000 kilometers. And so we're going to buy a 3,000 kilometer train ticket. And so we can go by train in the next 3 weeks to Barcelona, to Valencia, to Granada, Seville, Malaga, La Coruña, Vigo, and Oviedo, and Gijón, etc. All going all around Spain by train. I said, ah, that's cool. How much does it cost? And they said, I don't know, you know, 1,000 pesetas or something. I don't know. I said, 1,000 pesetas, that's a bit expensive. I said, yes, but it's 3 weeks. And I said, wait, let's make a calculation. Hagamos unos cálculos. And I said, look, are you going to sleep on the train? He said, no, we won't be able to sleep on the train. Okay. So it's the billete kilométrico, it's the kilometric ticket in addition to the cost of a hotel or a pension, right? Or a hostel. And yes, okay. And the meals, of course, you have to eat as well. And the food is not free on the train. No, okay. I said, okay, let's make a calculation. And I made a calculation in front of them of renting a car. I said, look, if we pool our money among three, entre los tres, creamos un fondo común. We pool our money among the three. We rent a car, and we spend 3 weeks driving around Spain, or 2 weeks driving around Spain. It's cheaper than those tickets plus the hotels or hostels where you stay. And it was clearly cheaper. And they said, I said, then all three of us will go. All three of us can go. We can share the driving, or I'll do the driving, and we have more autonomy, more freedom to move around because we have a car. And they said, fantastic, yeah. And so immediately, before my friend Nacho returned, I went downstairs to the streets in Argüelles because I remembered from the year before that there was a car rental agency on Fernando el Católico or Fernández de los Ríos in Argüelles. I didn't remember. Atesa was the name of the car rental agency, Atesa. And I found it. I still don't remember which street. And I reserved a Seat 127. So I reserved a car for the following morning. And I went back and I say, I have a reservation for the car. And so they said, okay. And so instead of staying in Madrid, I went off on an adventure of 2 semanas y media, two and a half weeks, going around central and northern Spain. Now, I had $300 on me. However, Spain was extremely cheap at that time. Menú del día, 40 pesetas. Menú del día, 4 euros. The menú del día was, excuse me, the metro was about 5 euros, excuse me, 5 pesetas, which is about 3 cents. 3 céntimos de euro. Pero ya en el 74 era como 8 céntimos de euro el metro. It had gone up. And the menú del día in a restaurant was about 60 pesetas, 50 or 60 pesetas, which was about, I don't know, como 30 céntimos de euro or something, or medio euro was the menú del día. I mean, it was cheap. Everything was cheap. And I had dollars. And so I had only $300 in my pocket. But that was enough for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, renting a car, staying in hostels or cheap hotels. And when I got back to Madrid, I still had $140. So everything I have achieved, everything I have accomplished in Madrid over the past 51 years started with $140 in my pocket. So it's a typical story of rags to riches and things like that. Andrajos a riqueza, cities in English. Rags to riches is an expression. I don't know how to say that in Spanish, from rags to riches. I'm going to ask ChatGPT. Tengo aquí ChatGPT delante. I'm going to ask them, how do you say in Spanish, from rags, R-A-G-S, to riches? Okay, let's see what ChatGPT says. In Spanish, the phrase from rags to riches is commonly translated de la pobreza a la riqueza, de mendigo a millonario. Both versions convey the idea from a position of poverty to one of wealth and success. Well, riches is not necessarily true in my case, but rags, yes. I had $140 in my pocket when I got back from 2.5 weeks with these two fantastic girls. All right, we had a good time. I mean, we took that Seat 127, you know, Seat 127. And from Madrid, we drove to Avila. Then from Avila to Barco de Avila. From Barco de Avila to Béjar. From Béjar to La Alberca. From La Alberca to Peña de Francia. Peña de Francia to Salamanca. And then from Salamanca, we drove up to Zamora. And from Zamora, we drove north to Asturias, to Oviedo, and then to Gijón. I remember in Gijón, the Plaza de San Lorenzo, la Playa de San Lorenzo, and the difference between the high tide and the low tide is incredible. Low tide is la marea baja, low tide. Escrito tide, low, high, low tide, high tide. And the high tide goes all the way up to the wall. So people, there were a lot of people on the beach that July, and the water was about 200 or 300 meters away, but it was quickly coming in. It was a question of an hour and a half, the water was touching the wall and nobody was on the beach. It was underwater. I was very impressed with the difference between the tides in La Playa de San Lorenzo in Gijón. And then we drove to Santander and from Santander to Bilbao. And then from Bilbao, of course, to San Sebastián. And then from San Sebastián, we drove to Pamplona. And from Pamplona, we drove to Jaca. We also drove to the Anso, near the Parque Nacional de Ordesa. And then from there, we drove to the Valle de Arán. And from the Valle de Arán, we drove to Ponte Suerte in Lérida. And from Ponte Suerte, we drove to Andorra. And then from Andorra, we drove to Cadaqués, the hometown of Salvador Dalí. And then finally from Cadaqués to Barcelona, and I said goodbye to the girls con lágrimas, with tears. I'd fallen in love with those two girls, especially with one of them. So I said goodbye. And then I hitchhiked. I hitchhiked from Barcelona to Lérida. But then it was very, very difficult because I was alone and not with a girl. People stopped their cars if I was with a girl, but this time, no. And so I took the train from Lérida to Madrid. And then from Madrid, I went to Pensión Gracia. Yes, I remembered it from before. I remembered it from... No, I didn't go to... Perdona, excuse me. No. Yes. Yes, I went to Pensión Gracia. Yes. I'm losing my memory. I'm trying to... And Pensión Gracia is located on Calle de la Luna, near Plaza de Mostenses and near San Bernardo... Calle Santo Domingo. No, Calle San Bernardo. And also near the... what do you call it? Near the Plaza de los no sé qué. I can't remember the name of it. And Pensión Gracia was owned and managed by Gracia de Triana, cantaora de los años 40, 50 y 60. A very good professional in cante. And but she was about 55 years old at this time, and so her source of income now was the pension in Madrid. But she was from the Barrio de Triana in Seville. And I stayed there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 nights to get my bearings, orientarme de nuevo, to get my bearings again, to my orientation. And then I went to, I made contact with the Chilean family in Barrio La Estrella, Calle de los Astros. And I told them I needed to rent their room again, if it was available. And the mother, Carmen, said, it's available and you don't need to rent it. We are going to rent it in 1 month, but in the meantime, you can stay here for free. And so I went to from Calle de la Luna, or Calle Luna, in the center of Madrid, near Callao. And I went to Barrio La Estrella, along Doctor Izquierdo Street, between Doctor Izquierdo and lo que es hoy el M30. All right. And so I stayed there for a month with Carmen and with Tati, with her beautiful, incredible daughter. But she had a kind of a fiancé now. Fiancé es un prometido, who was the military attaché to the Chilean embassy, el agregado militar de la embajada chilena. Wow. Esto fue ya en época de Pinochet. Yes. 1 year before, Pinochet had taken over the Chilean government from Salvador Allende in 1973. This was in 1974. So this person was under the Pinochet military, and she was engaged to him. And I stayed there for 1 month. And then I needed to find a place to live, and I needed to start working, by the way. And so I made a decision. I made a decision to get up very early one morning at 6 o'clock. And to go to the Puerta del Sol. Why? Because at that time, the Puerta del Sol had a newsstand, un kiosco. It was the biggest and most elaborate kiosco in Madrid. And I decided that I would go there for a reason that I will tell you next week. Because I have run out of time. I have run out of time, but I will tell you next week, and I will retell the story a little bit. But in the meantime, have a great week, and I'll see you next Sunday.